Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1710, air date August 14th, 2026.
All right, good evening, everyone. We're going to do a second take on this. This is our Thursday open house. We do this every Thursday. We have people gathered here, which are people from our movement, but we also broadcast this on social media so people can participate. I'm going to speak for about maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and then we're going to take Q&A, and then people get introduced to our movement. We have, I think, we have some new people here, I assume, who've come, a lot of veterans here. The main thing is I want to thank all the people out there who are listening, who've particularly those people who get offline and go on the ground or make phone calls. And let me tell you why this is really, really important. Because that activity of actually communicating with people in a one-on-one conversation, obviously physically meeting with people, adds a whole real dimension that it's hard to get really on the online medium. But more importantly, even if you could get it on the online medium, the reality is the online medium is highly controlled. As you know, in 2020, we uncovered the fact that government and social media companies have this unholy alliance. That alliance has built up where we have censorship 10.0. It's not people just throw you off online. They literally monitor your conversations. They build profiles of you. And then they can divert people who would actually want to listen to you to decoys of you. Okay, it's literally it's censorship 10.0. So you're given this illusion, oh, Dr. Shiva's has a presence. But if you notice, every day Elon Musk on Twitter is taking away 100 of my followers. Every day. Okay? And Zuckerberg and YouTube just keep it, I think it's the same number of followers for the last 4 years since we exposed a backdoor portal into Twitter. So the censorship is much more sophisticated because if you say they're censoring me, what do you mean? They're allowing you on a platform. But the censorship is done where you're allowed on their platform, but because of the sophistication of how the technology works, that you can track everyone who comes to your site or your page, and you get profiles of each of those people. So anyone visiting your page, you know their directional proclivity. Oh, they're into, let's say, revolutionary politics. They want to change the world. You get all their traversals of where they are going to. So if someone new comes to our movement and wants to hear me talk, but they still have some illusions about Booby Kennedy or Fucker Carlson, they could easily be directed to those people. And that's what's been happening. So it's very clever, the censorship that's taking place. So if you want to actually build a movement to fundamentally change the world, which comes truly bottoms up, to think that you're going to do it on the online medium is, you know, it's a massive illusion. So the only opportunity people have, and many of us who were activists in the 80s, we talked about this in when George Orwell's book came out, that the future would actually go in a big loop back to, you know, a very Luddite type of things, handing out flyers again. And that's where we're at. So today, someone I know, he said, oh, my wife got one of your flyers. I go, really? And that was a huge, huge win because we have just started getting people distributing these flyers. And this is a guy I hadn't seen in a while. And he's saying his wife got it. And she said she really liked it. And the flyer I'm talking about is this one. If you haven't seen it, it's a 65%. It says a Massachusetts independent, yet we keep voting, you know, Republican and Democrat. And it gives all the list of all the crazy, destructive things that the two parties, not only the two parties, the establishment has done. And then it says, you're independent, vote independent. And on the back of it, it lets people know that I'm running for office. But what's fascinating is getting people to get out there and hand it, right? Distribute this. So we have volunteers like Marianne and Chris, and I think Eileen and Vicky and a number of other people who actually call people and talk to them. And because many of our people are outside of Massachusetts, and get them excited to go hand out flyers, right? That in itself is an interesting discussion because you're going to people who've never had, you know, the experience of handing out flyers, and you have to give them history, background, and then you have to tell them to meet us somewhere. For example, right down the street, about 3 minutes down the street is a shopping center. And I meet people and we do training to hand out flyers. You won't find many Senate candidates. No one, none of the Senate candidates will do this. Okay. So that comes into what is these political campaigns? What are they actually doing? And let me tell you what they're actually doing. There is no political campaign. They don't have any people who support them. It's all top down. So the way it works is you have these two heads of the same beast. And the intention of the beast is to keep people distracted. So people independently, through their own mistakes and through their own struggles, build bottoms up movements, right? Because those in power know that's the only way real change has ever come. So they have these two, this two-headed monster, and they put on a show. Okay. Now, the show in the United States occurs in early November, November 3rd or 4th. It's called an election. And the show is to present to people candidates that the people have apparently selected to be on a stage to vote for. But the reality is the candidates who even appeared to get on a stage or on the ballot aren't even selected by the majority of people. They're selected by a very small set of people. And when you look at the numbers, you'll realize how rigged this whole thing is. But more importantly, the economics of this is quite fascinating, because when these two candidates, Republican and Democrat in this case, in other countries they have other parties, are electioneering, how are they doing it? Do they really have bottoms-up support? Do they really have volunteers who are willing to go and want to see them elected? And you'll find out it's absolutely not true. The way this works is, so if the election is in November, you would think that these people would be getting volunteers, galvanizing people, campaigning, right? None of that occurs. It doesn't occur in January. It doesn't occur in February. It doesn't occur in March. What happens is in the United States, right now it's summer. Summer ends in August. And around September 2nd, a little bit after that, it's called Labor Day. People come back from their summer vacations. And these two parties, funded by the same set of the swarm, goes to the billionaire class and asks them for money. So the billionaire class may give one candidate, you know, a couple million, the other one maybe more. And what they do with this money is after Labor Day, they spend the money on TV ads, right? So that money that they raise goes to a few TV stations, few ad agencies who are, by the way, part of the billionaire class. They go to the same parties, literally. They hang out together. So money's going from the left pocket to the right pocket. And money goes into TV ads, the production for the TV ads. It goes into radio ads and the production for the radio ads. And then it goes to a few sign companies. There's a few political sign companies that make the physical lawn signs, et cetera. So a small set of the billionaire class's network gets funded. From the right pocket to the left pocket, they probably golf together. Their kids go to the same school. It's just money circulating among these people. And then the theater happens. You'll see some ads attacking this guy. This guy will attack that guy. There'll be some scandal, some controversy, some scandal on top of another scandal. People get enthralled by that. Ooh, blah, 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 this and whatever happens, right? And then this is what they call campaigning. And what's fascinating is, when these people get their money, one of the first things you have to do is you have to get on the ballot. Well, how do they get on the ballot? They actually don't have people actually going in order in Massachusetts to get on the ballot. You have to have a form and you have to literally go and collect nomination signatures. Well, they don't even have any support. They don't have volunteers who'll go out in the sun or the cold. They just call a company up, you know, pay them some enormous amount for their signatures. And that company goes, does that. So again, no supporters. Well, do they have people who'll even go and hand out flyers? No, they don't have any. And if they did, it's someone who will work for one candidate one season or the same season. Many years ago, I saw a governor running for office, and a bunch of they bring this busload of volunteers, like migrant workers. They give them T-shirts, they put it on, and they hold signs. I'm not saying, hey, what are you doing here? He goes, oh, I was just paid to do this. And how much are you getting paid? He goes, I'm getting paid $35 an hour. But, you know, later on, I'm going to go to another candidate and he pays me a little more. Okay. So again, they actually have no people ideologically, you know, support them. It's absolutely fucked up. Okay. When you think about it, it's all artificial. Theater is occurring. And then we also know the elections are selections because on the ballot machines, they can weight races, which I've talked about. And then whoever they decide to select to hide the selection, they delete all the ballot images. And we have a historic lawsuit in there. But this is the fucking reality. These people have no fucking support. Now, contrast what I just said. This is to what we're doing, what our movement is doing. Okay? Completely fucking different. We actually have people who go out in the hot sun and hand out flyers in front of a grocery store. Last week, we were doing a telethon to raise our $250,000 to get on the debate stage. A guy, I forget his last name, Steve, was on his, I guess, Zoom or whatever, or on YouTube listening as he was driving from Virginia to New Hampshire. He goes, wow, this is great. He donates us money and then decide he's going to come here and help hand out flyers. He handed out 250 flyers in about an hour and a half, okay? At Chelmsford, okay? And then he's got to take care of some stuff for his father, but for all of September, all of October, he's going to move up here for 8 weeks and hand out flyers. Okay? That's the kind of people we have. That's a real campaign. We have people on this call who have families who work, and then in the middle of that, they carve out time to make phone calls, to onboard volunteers, to tell people to pledge for us. We are the only ones running a real fucking campaign in the United States. Mamdani, that wasn't a grassroots campaign, top down. His mother was banging Epstein, okay? Hanging out with Epstein, seriously, okay? The same class. So these people hate all of us. They cannot fathom the fact that we get together every day, that we have created an organizational structure that's truly bottoms up. They cannot fathom that. It does not compute to them because they're scumbags. Everything they do is cheating. They all cheated probably through high school, college, everywhere. They're cheaters. It's really disgusting. We all work hard and they cheat. Their money is made from insider trading, everything they do. And you know, I suppose with the achievements I've made and the success I have in spite of all that shit, I don't really have to fucking do this, but I hate these fuckers so much. And I have great, you know, sadness for the majority of humanity, which gets fucked over by these people. And that's why I fight. And the fight we're doing is something so viscerally simple. Go out in front of a fucking grocery store and hand this out. And it takes a little bit of training because you have to get over your fear. You know, Joyce Evans, who'd never done this before, I went out with her and she goes, wow, I'm nervous. I've never done this. And I knew it was hard for Joyce. I mean, she's never done anything like this. And she stood out there and I gave her tips, you know, Joyce, all you have to do is say independent for U.S. Senate and let them come to you. And don't be afraid to say thank you as they take, you know, we'll give a couple of tips. But Joyce got it. But I'm telling you, it is not easy initially to go out in front of people and interact with them. That's what they've done to humanity. They do not want us interacting among each other. And the interactions that they do are governed by a theater that they've said, okay, now you interact on Thanksgiving. Now you interact on Christmas, right? These are designated holidays where you hang out and then you get to interact. with quote unquote family. Okay. So they have orchestrated and curated everything. That the concept of us saying, hey, we are going to build a bottoms up movement. We're going to make our own flyer. We're going to go to this shopping center. We're going to organize people. We're going to train people. They don't fucking want any of this. Okay. And that's what we're doing. We've created an organization, a structure, you know, our own words. Okay. This was not done by some Madison Avenue prick. Okay. Who said, oh, Dr. Shiva, you need to present yourself like this. You're an MIT guy, you know, let's tone down the rhetoric. Don't say fuck. Don't say, right. All that shit. And by the way, everyone curses now, all of them, because they know that the righteous anger is what people want, but ours comes naturally. But this flyer was done by myself and a few other people, 500 iterations. Okay. Black and white. We printed it. We carried in the fucking boxes. I carried in the boxes. Mike Mosca did, 83 years old. We sorted them. These fuckers don't do any work. I'm giving you these details to let you know that our movement actually does the fucking work. They don't do any work. They cheat. So I'm asking you, if you're out there, I know a bunch of you are calling people, we need hundreds of you to get out on the fucking ground and hand out these flyers, and we will win this fucking campaign. And we'll win it on our terms. And the reason I'm so shadow banned and they fucking hate me and all the Wikipedia guys manipulate my pages is because I became successful in spite of them. I inspire people to say, fuck you, win on your own terms. They don't want that. Because you can win without being a Zionist cocksucker. You can win without compromising. But they have created a narrative that you must bow down to them. Then you get anointed. And then you get wealth. It's not true. We can win on our own terms. There is a conspiracy against all of us, but we can still win on our own fucking terms. They don't want others realizing, Dr. Shiva says, fuck you, fuck this. He works his butt off. He creates his own companies. He creates solutions and he still fucking wins. Yeah, I take the fucking hard way, but I win. And they cannot have that story. They need the Elon Musk Zionist cocksucker story, right? He will be heralded. Motherfucker hasn't created anything. He took over Tesla. He never created a car. He has not created rockets. Any code he wrote didn't fucking work. So they have to create fictitious heroes who bow down to them. I don't bow down to them. Our movement doesn't bow down to them. They have said that PBS, one of the large TV networks, that they will put us on the debate stage. But in order for us to be on the debate stage, they gave two criteria. One of the criteria was we have to collect 10,000 plus ballots and signatures to get on the ballot. We already did that. We were the first ones to do that. And by the way, it was done by we, the people, hardworking people. Again, people like Nicholas who came in, busted his ass, staying in the cold and rain, Jason Long. And you can go down the list of people. Barb Heard, okay? Men and women, not paid corporations who they pay. This is really important to understand. These guys don't do any work. They're fucking cheaters. So we do work. We print our own flyers. We do our own design. We carry in the boxes. We put them in, Barb Heard puts them in nice sheets for people. We meet with people. We have to go out and train them. They don't have to do any of that. They just take the fucking money, call up their friends, take a TV ad and sit there and twiddle their fucking thumbs. And then just say, okay, today you're going to go to this location and you're going to fucking pet a dog. Tomorrow you're going to do this. And then you're going to do this. And then it's all fucking orchestrated. None of it's real. We have a real fucking movement. And to those of you listening, you've been given a huge opportunity to actually do something real for once in your life. That there is no heaven somewhere else. The heaven we want to create is right here on earth. That is the religion that I believe is the only true religion. What we do here and now, right now, what we do to create shit right here. And they don't want you to do that. But that means you have to do something now, right? It's not something you think about later or you twiddle over here and play on social media. What we're doing is something very visceral and real, that we as people, working people from all over the world, have come together under this very powerful concept of truth, freedom, health. And we as a people, working people who work, not involved with any political party, have come on our own journeys. We've crisscrossed paths around this very core set of principles, quite profound. And then from those principles, we built a community organization, and then we came up with what actions we're going to do, right? So we're engineering collectively our own future, not being engineered upon us. And that leads us to this important point right now on August 13th, 2026 in history, at this time, 9:55 p.m., where we're engaging people independently to say, look, we have an opportunity to have power, political power for us. It is a well-known fact. There are the top 100 most powerful people on the United States, in the planet, are the 100 United States senators. I don't know if you know this. When you look at political power, the amount of influence, it is the 100 senators in the United States Senate. De facto. Those senators have equal or more power than the president of the United States. I'll do a whole video on this, okay? They have the power to call investigations. They have the power to stop a unanimous consent vote in the Senate and many of the others I've listed. They do not exercise any of that power. I will. And you know, as an independent that we are, because we have exercised our power, we have had huge victories, and I'll give you a few of them. In 2017, 2018, it was our movement which called out a racist by the name of Elizabeth Warren. She is a fucking racist because she uses race for her political advancement. That's racism. Not calling me some, you know, word because of my skin color. That's just ignorance. Racism was what Elizabeth Warren did. It was our movement, 10 of us, who came up with a great slogan. Only the real Indian can defeat the fake Indian. It's a great slogan. We created our own posters, got an old rickety bus, put this huge freaking banner on it with my picture and hers. We drove it all around Massachusetts, east to west, tens of thousands of miles, scared the shit out of the elite, forced this idiot to take a DNA test. Because everyone was like, wait a minute, Elizabeth, are you really Indian? Why don't you just take the test? Take the test. She did. And they had to sprinkle in Peruvian genes to get her up to 1 out of 1024. But we started that movement at T equals zero. Then it went viral all over the internet. Then Trump started talking about it. And then he tried to take credit for our stuff. But we started that. If you do a curve from fake Indian, real Indian, and you look at it online, I could do it on the x-axis. If you look at time, and on the y-axis, you look at the number of hits. We started that. It was explosive. We did that. Our movement. One example. Then you go to 2020, when we ran again as Republicans, when our election was stolen. We're the ones who talked about that you can flip votes, the concept of election integrity, ballot images. If you look at the word ballot images, no one ever knew those fucking two words. And you can generate the data with SEO. Go look at 2020. We started, and then that word becomes explosive. We educated the world, an independent movement about election integrity, the flipping of votes, and how they do this. Our movement did that. Fire Fauci. Again, you can do a tracking on that. We started that hashtag. We're the ones who built a global movement around that. We're the ones who taught people about creating a resilient immune system starting in 2020. Then it went over here. A year later, Rand Paul talked about it. And now, 6 years later, they're talking about firing Fauci. Who started this movement? We did. And they all know it. Who started educating the world about the difference between Zionism and Judaism? More recently, who came up with the term Zionist cocksucker? I know it's an awful term to talk about, but we did, and every other grifter started using it. You see, our movement starts freaking things. We are the source. And they have to deny us that or try to suppress it because they want to take advantage of the fact that we are the tip of the spear and to direct people, misdirect people. Okay? That's what an independent movement does. 65% of Massachusetts is independent. These are our people. We represent them. We are the fucking majority. So they have invited us to be on the debate stage. Well, we are the majority. Don't you think we should, like, we shouldn't have to pay to be on the debate stage? Well, they've said you have to get ballot signatures, which we have. Then they said you need to raise 250K. You know, in 2020, we raised $2 million. So they want us to now, and this year we decided it's all people power. We're not going to raise that kind of money. But now they want us to raise money for what reason? It comes back to the central point. These two parties raise money and then they give the money to their friends. We actually have people actually work for us, right? Because they want to. They're giving their services. And we are going to value their services. Their donation is their labor. So we have to get on that debate stage because they don't give a lot of opportunities, you say? But if they give a little window opening, we got to go in there. And why is that important? Because for the first time, I think Ross Perot was probably, I mean, he was still part of the swarm, right? A military industrial complex guy, but at least the public had a chance to see a Democrat, a Republican, and this wacky guy, Ross Perot, okay? And he made some good points. But since that time, no one's ever really had a chance in this country to see the stark difference between a Republican Democrat over here and a true independent. That will be us. So we need to get on that debate stage. Because they don't want real people like us competing fairly. That's the way they operate. They cheat. So if they're going to give us that opening to get on the debate stage, we have to take it. In order to get on there, we need to raise a little bit of money. And we're doing that. We went from 20,000 to what, close to 100,000 in the last week. And we got, I think, another 10, 15 days, end of the month, to finish raising the 250. I want to blow through that, way beyond that. But frankly, I think it's awful that working people have to give us money to get on a debate stage for public broadcasting, which supposedly is free, okay? So public broadcasting is free, and I have to go beg hardworking people who are all struggling to give me money to get on. It's so fucked up. It's really, really fucked up. So, you know, we have a lot of people who've given services that they want to donate. Now, we're going to value all that. It's called an in-kind donation. And we will value their time. But the bottom line is we need to get on that debate stage, number one. The other more important thing is we need people experiencing what it means to go out and interact with people. Okay? We have people coming from different parts of the country, you know, like this guy, Steve, handing this out. But when you hand this out, every two you hand out, we get one vote. That's how powerful these are. You hand two out, we get one vote. So we need people out there experiencing what it means to be a human being again. And that's what handing out a flyer gives you the opportunity to do. It really does. The next level thing is talking to people on the phone, because now you have to converse with people. You at least hear their voice. You can hear their intonations, their emotions, right? You have to overcome potentially their ideas. You have to learn how to articulate stuff. It's much, much tougher, right? You have to really use your brain, your emotions, a whole bunch of things. So I'm encouraging all of you to take advantage of the opportunity that we've opened up. It's really for you to be more human and not be part of this very virtual, fucked up world that they're creating for themselves, which has nothing to do with democracy. We are really delivering democracy. You go hand out this flyer, and you know from your hard work, every two you hand out, people read it and they go, wow, I really like this guy. Barb was saying she was out there handing out flyers, and we go to very similar places. And a guy came out, oh, not only did I take your flyer, he said, but I'm going to vote for him because I went and researched him. That's why it's important to be out there with people, because they see you as a face. How do they get votes? TV advertising, pummeled with ads, input, right? Impressing shit into your brain. That's not really thinking. That's just, as we call in system science, a dumb system, right? Input, output. We're giving, if you notice, nowhere on this flyer does it say vote for Dr. Shiva. And we did that purposely. This flyer is lightning in a bottle, because it forces, and you'll see when you hand out this flyer, we'll see people reading it all the way to their car, into their car, because it hits them in their soul, because it's saying, look, I'm an independent. Why am I voting for these guys? It forces them to self-reflect. It's a deeply psychologically moving flyer that gives the onus of decision-making on the individual. We're not trying to manipulate people here. We're just giving them facts. 65% are independent. In fact, it's 67. But yet you keep voting for Democrat and Republican. What are you doing? So everything we do is about trying to raise a citizen's consciousness. We're not trying to manipulate people here. And then it just so happens there is a guy who's an independent, and you can go read about his credentials. So you can't have an excuse, oh, independents can't win. Yet we can. We don't have a qualified candidate. Yes, we do. So, but to all of you listening, you know, between now and over the, and 10 weeks, the campaign's going to be over. 10 weeks and it's over. That's how fast this stuff moves. We need people out there. If you're listening and you want to ask questions, I hope you ask questions like, how can I get to Massachusetts to hand out flyers? I'm in Massachusetts. Or how can I have friends in Massachusetts. That's what we need. That's what you need. That's what the world needs. We need to win a fucking election on our terms. Like I created email on my terms. That's why they have to, that's why they don't like it. Because it wasn't done at MIT or the military industrial complex. Everything I've done on my terms. All of us here have gathered together to build this movement have done it on our terms. We've made conscious decisions, truly conscious decisions, and we stand up on our own two feet. That's called being a true human being. And that's what we offer people, the opportunity to be human, to exercise your humanity, to exercise your ferocity, to give you an opportunity to exercise your righteous anger and organize it and galvanize it to get power that we deserve as we the people. That's what we're doing. So, and again, everything we're saying is very tangible. There's an event, probably mid-October, where we can have our voice on a debate stage. We know they'll manipulate, but you know what? Them seeing me and those two other idiots is going to create shockwaves. Just being able to be on that stage and people in that little proscenium arch of a screen being able to see that, right? That's cool. Being able to hand out flyers and being able to experience people saying, thank you. You realize, shit, the world ain't so fucked up. People actually want new shit. They're angry. They're not all like enthralled by Elon Musk or bowing at Donald Trump or AOC or Bernie Sanders. They're everyday people out there. They really want a true alternative. And we're offering that. So it gets you very, very inspired. But most importantly, the numbers are in our favor. We hand these flyers out, we will win the fucking election, but on our terms. And that's what I want to impress on people. We can win. You can win whatever you do on your terms. You don't have to cheat and compromise. But they want you to cheat and compromise. They want you on Epstein Island because then they can control you. Okay? So bottom line is we have 10 weeks. We need people giving whatever they can so we can get on the stupid debate stage. But more importantly, we have an opportunity to have our voice be among one of the 100 most powerful people on this planet. Use that platform of the U.S. Senate to talk about real issues to talk about what we, the people, want, to run our own investigations, use that platform. And we have a chance in history to do that. But we need people on the ground. We need people to say, God, I get it. I've never done this, but I'm willing to do it. Have the courage to say, okay, we'll onboard you. I will personally train you. I'll train you how to hand out a flyer, how to talk to people, okay? I enjoy doing that. But that's what we need. We need people to realize that we're offering them an opportunity to be human and to, you know, get a piece of at least a platform that helps us advance our cause. Any questions? That's the opportunity we have. So everyone here, I think everyone here is, you got to crank it up, meaning we have 10 weeks, help make phone calls to onboard volunteers, to hand out flyers, let people know they can give whatever they want, $1, $2, $100, $1,000, whatever it is, to finish up getting on the debate stage. But we have very tangible things we need. This is not abstract. So when we open it up to questions, I hope people are equally, you know, grounded in their questions they want to ask, directed towards how do we advance this movement? How do we win, right? How do we get people to hand out flyers? How do we mobilize people? Any questions?
Thank you, Dr. Shiba. That was great. So again, remember, guys, if you guys have a question, please direct it in the chat. We have, or should have, if somebody could help me out, open up the chat for direct questions. You can send those to myself or find a name in the participants list. If they say co-host, you can send them a direct question. We'll read it over to Dr. Shiba. But again, we are here in action and ready for you to join us. So any questions directly tied to this topic, please go ahead and submit them now. I see a question from RJ Nirmal from Illinois. He says, what are your thoughts, Dr. Shiba, on the Wisconsin election USB fiasco?
I don't really want to take time to even talk about that right now, you know?
Yeah.
I think what would be valuable is if we can focus on a couple of things here. You know, anything that they do in terms of cheating elections, whatever they do, from our standpoint, is we have an actual movement that we're building here, and we need people that actually help us get on the ground. When you look at something like whether it's the Wisconsin, RDC fiasco, or if you look at a number of these things that go on out there, that the level of corruption that takes place occurs in so many ways, right? Whether it be in that incident or what occurred with Flint, Michigan, and you can go down the list. But the question is, we could spend probably, weeks on, the Wisconsin matter or any other matter, but the issue is, how do we actually win and make change? That's the question we should be talking about, because tomorrow there's going to be another issue and another issue and another issue. Right now we're talking about is our movement gives a framework for people to understand all these issues, how we actually fight and win. So right now we're in the trenches fighting. And if we have the opportunity to have platforms, we can expand this movement. You know, we have Jewel here, Jewel Monker. Jewel's a veteran, right, Jewel? Jewel works in a hospital, works his butt off. And I saw Jewel donated about $350. Thank you, Jewel. Now, I know that's a lot of fucking money for you, Jewel. Okay, thank you. But, and Jewel, separate from that, makes phone calls. And he goes on, hands out flyers, okay? So Jewel is at a very high state of consciousness in the sense he understands that what he does can move the needle and can, advance consciousness to understand the interconnectedness of all these corrupt activities, be it what occurs in Wisconsin or what occurs, what we're doing to, the genocide in Gaza, all these things. But the issue is we have to choose where we focus our actions right now. And in fact, what we even discuss, all these are important discussions. But right now, in this moment in history, we need people handing out flyers, getting on the ground, and talking about how we can win and give people the opportunity to go offline, you know, and participate, make phone calls. We need to use this occasion, because what's going to emerge out of this 10 weeks from now is a lot more truth and health warrior scholars globally, a lot of people who are going to understand the political dynamics. That's a huge win. So we got to get a lot of people involved in this now so they can advance their understanding. We always say action leads to experience, which leads to consciousness. So I would say, RJ, wherever you are, you know, is RJ here among us? Is he a warrior scholar?
Yes, RJ's been making phone calls.
Yeah, so RJ's been making phone calls. So RJ, I think one of the areas is, if you can work with Marianne and Nick's team, if you can help us make phone calls to these people in Massachusetts to help us hand out flyers, that's what we need.
Thank you, RJ, for your question. Again, anybody who has questions, please direct those in the chat. We are, again, in full-fledged campaign mode. Again, this is not about Dr. Shiva. This is really about myself and you, right? Just really participating, taking coordinated action like we have here. Again, RJ, Jewel, right, making calls into Massachusetts. And again, handing out flyers. I don't see any direct questions anymore. I'm not sure if any of the co-hosts have any other questions, but I don't see any on my end.
Suresh, anyone online? All right. Let me ask you a question, Suresh. On StreamYard, how many viewers do you see? Okay, what you can do, Suresh, on the comments section on StreamYard, you can ask people if they have any questions, because that will go out to all the other platforms. So a couple of things I want to let people know is, just dates-wise, so there's a thing called the Federal Election Commission, and you have to file reports. So we're in the middle of filing what's called our pre-primary report for the period until August 12th. The next report we have to file is, I think, October 15th. So between now, August 13th, to September 1st, how many days is that? Is that 18 days? 19 days. Is the period that we have that we can addition. So we have about 90K. We need to raise about 160K between now and that period. 160 divided by, let's say, roughly 19 days, okay? Roughly about $10,000 a day. My number's right. Is that right? Yeah. And if we do that, we'll get on the ballot stage. So this is why I'm asking people to recognize that we have a short period of time. And if any dollars that come after September 1st, they won't be counted. So it's only between whatever we get from now until September 1st, that's going to be additionally counted. Okay. And we're at 95, 96 right now. So that's one goal we need to hit. And we want to hand out about, you know, 500,000 to a million of these flyers. Again, 10 weeks and it's over. So we're looking for volunteers, 100 people will help us go hand out these flyers. Okay. Two of them, you know, each lead to one vote. So we made it very, very practical and easy for people to do. If people want to come into Massachusetts, you know, we have people willing to give people housing, help them out. But Massachusetts is the center of the global swarm. It really is. All innovation corruption comes from Massachusetts first. How you manipulate people, the tactics that are done are really innovated between Harvard and MIT. They really are. The backdoor portal to Twitter, the unholy alliance with government and social media companies was created at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government at the Belfer School. You go look at any major economic collapse, any major world war, It all came out of the think tanks here. So our winning an election here will be a big victory for all working people. So this is why we're encouraging people to get involved. So Suresh has got something. Someone on Facebook wrote, Manuel Verdugo wrote, I'm interested in your Scholar Warrior program. How can I get in touch with your team? So Manuel, you can simply go to truthfreedomhealth.com or write in the chat if you give us your, or on Facebook, if you DM us or you let us know what your email is or your phone number, someone will call you up today. Someone may go find Manuel Verdugo on Facebook also, and we'll look you up and we'll reach out to you. Good question. So Manuel is asking a great question. He wants to get involved. Okay. He wants to do something. Kevin Hadley says, is Israel controlling Trump? I mean, his first term is he fulfilled some promises. This time it seems he's lost. We need guys like you. Yeah, Kevin. So here's the deal with Trump. You know, he like Obama. I don't want to just isolate him, because if you just call out Trump, we lose the whole picture, whether it was Obama, whether it was him, whether it was Bush. The establishment looks and gets enormous amounts of data on public sentiment. They are getting a lot of censor feedback on public sentiment. Based on that data that they get, they decide which actor they should put on stage to manipulate people for their goals, which is to maximize power, profit, control, right? So Obama was a choice, you know, in the 2000-2008 period, right? Or 2016 period. And then Trump became their choice because people were highly disillusioned with Obama. So Trump became the choice, the selection, and so on. So, but none of these people at that level of power, or the 100 senators in the U.S. Senate, you will never see Rand Paul ever critique Zionism, right? He'll talk a big game, but they're all owned by Israel, or more precisely, Zionism. So Trump is not only controlled, he's owned by them. He does what they want, okay? I think some of you may know, I unwittingly went to meet Trump. He invited me, I didn't want to go. And then finally, a lot of my friends who were Trumpers saying, you're being too critical. So I went to meet with him. I think I've shared this with a few people. But when I went to meet with him, it was in at Mar-a-Lago. You know, it was in his small office. And it was interesting because he looked like an out-of-work actor. He didn't have any of his makeup on. And for 2 hours, he kept praising me, thanking me for all the work I've done, you know, talking about his Uncle John who went to MIT. And as he talked, as the meeting went on, he must have asked like 30 or 40 times, what do you want? What do you want? Like as though I had come there to negotiate a position. And I said, I don't want anything. I said, what do you want from me? And I think it shocked him. But anyway, you know, I have all the notes from the meeting. I should probably publish it as a short book. But when the meeting ended, right? I mean, I went into that meeting because he had endorsed a guy who committed election fraud here. That's why I didn't want to meet with him. But anyway, he gave us 2 MAGA hats and we were leaving. And then his assistant, Molly, came running when we were out in the driveway in Mar-a-Lago. And she said, oh, he wants to give you this plate. He only gives that to heads of state. He was so impressed by you. But what I remember was this deep, it's going to sound really fucked up, but I have never felt sadness for another human being as I felt for him. It came to my view that this guy has no friends. He's got nobody. All of his interactions in life were transactional. Every single one of them. Obviously, his son-in-law and his daughter, you know, he has a prostitutional relationship with his wife. I mean, there's like the guy is, frankly, was selected to do a task. Getting back to someone, is he owned by Israel? He's owned by something even deeper than Israel. He sold his soul. But what I saw was a human being who no one loved. He probably had no one in his life who actually cared for him. And I can't tell you, I felt massive sadness. like I've never felt any, even though he's a dirtbag, I felt absolute sadness for him as a human. And that's what these people are. They have no idea what real love means. Everything is highly transactional. It's sad. It's very, very sad. So that's the answer to your question. You know, so you come to a point in life where you can choose the hard way, where you do things on your own terms, or you can choose the easy way where you sell your soul and you make a shitload of money and you get quote unquote success. And that's what Trump chose. But I'm telling you, he's a very sad human being. How do we get them to face RICO charges? I'm not sure what he's talking about. Oh, there's a federal rule governing debate sponsorship, requires a nonpartisan debate sponsor to use pre-established objective criteria for determining which candidates participate, which are those pre-established rules. If a third Democratic Senate candidate qualified for the Massachusetts primary ballot, what exact objective criteria would he have to satisfy it? Yeah. So anyway, this is an interesting issue. So it turns out the FCC, and there's been many precedent-setting cases, Diane, that was Diane Roll Diaz. So it turns out these news organizations have the right to set whatever criteria they want. Okay. And the FCC, which is a federal communications authority, which controls the TV and radio stations, has ruled they can set whatever rules they want. Obviously, the FCC is either a Democrat or Republican, right? So the debate criteria that they set can be very onerous to independent candidates or outsiders, but they have the right to do that. And the court system, which actually the judges are appointed by Democrats and Republicans, actually support this. So it's a rigged system. So that's why if you get a chance to chisel through the wall somewhere, you take it and you blow up the wall. And that's what getting on the debate stage allows us to do. So anyway, I think Suresh, I think it worked for you going on social media and putting that note up, didn't it? You got more comments coming back. All right. Well, I want to encourage people before we leave, to those of people who are not making phone calls, I'm telling you, we only have 10 weeks. I know Jolanta's planning on coming into Massachusetts shortly. I think Diane's on her way. She's coming tomorrow. So it's great. But recognize we have a short period of time, 10 weeks, and it's over. Michael Erdman says, how might you deal with the closed source and open source debate in big tech, which you could go on Moonshots podcast and transform this AGI, human robotic world visionaries coming forth. Well, if you want to get me on that podcast, we'll go on there. But look, my view on this from a policy perspective is that all of the internet and all of AI, the compute must be unlimited, made accessible to everyone. Claude, for example, you know, you can buy a usage of Claude, like user license for Claude. And then after a certain number of uses, you can't use Claude anymore. Okay. You have to pay more and more and more. So the centralization of AI compute, which means the computational capability of AI, is going to create a world of haves and have nots. Because if you have unlimited or access to AI, AI is basically like having access to workers. So those who have access to AI basically have access to a workforce. Those who don't, no matter how great ideas they have, innovative ideas, they won't be able to execute them in the future. That's where it's going. Those with creative ideas, if they want to execute them, are going to have a much higher barrier to entry than those people have access to AI. So innovation itself is going to be stunted. And that's why I'm a big proponent, separate from the open source, you know, open source. Issue open source he's referring to is, you know, open source code, is that I think the compute must be made and must be made unlimited to everyone. And that's how you solve this. All right. But Noel, if you can make sure that everyone here before you leave is onboarded and can help make phone calls, or either to get people to pledge or to get people to hand out flyers. Okay.
Yes, sir. We'll do that.
We got a short window. You know, Marianne, Chris, Eileen, I think Vicky and others are starting to do that, but we need all hands on deck. And anyone listening out there, if you see this video later, tell your friends in Massachusetts to help us hand out flyers. It's something very tangible, and they can get in contact with us at shiva4senate.com. And for donating, go to shiva4senate.com/donate. All right, everyone. Thank you. Be well. Thanks, Noel.
Thank you, Dr. Shiva.
Be well.
Again, Dr.
We
Shiva,
have allowed, we have allowed our country to be taken over from within. And the end goal, is you will have,
homogenized world
where we will become slaves.
Because there is a condition among the elites
that really thinks they're better than you.
Deep down inside,
you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't.
This reality is what we need to wake up to.
And we need to all unite working people.
There's only one movement that can do that.
That is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts.
I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, saying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing.
There's a nuclear science to destroying, to build a bridge you need to understand, you need to understand the laws, you need to understand the laws, there is a way to a revolution.
And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train army of leaders. We don't need followers, we need leaders. Education system does not teach them history. 3 hours is what I'm doing.
That's the solution.
We got to train people. First, understanding what the dynamics of all systems that affect nature.
The second is understanding true freedom and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely.
Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypotheses into truth, which is science.
And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body.
You can't fight freedom.
Third concept is bottom up. It has to be bottom up. Working people, working unity. And what the right wing has done is whatever you say, working people unite, that must be communist.
Meanwhile, they've let the workers suppress workers, completely corrupt.
But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up.
We need to go local.
Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement, giving the science.
And then we tell people what they can do on the ground.
Like with election fraud.
We don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local. Fight locally. Forget lawyers. Forget politicians. Forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not-so-obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not-so-obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you, on the left and the right, the Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing, Bernie Sanders, oh, he said something, or Robert Kennedy, scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement, and that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast.
And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. And the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhealth.com, so people can sign in, they can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhealth.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine. But I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosol, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.